Welcome back, hustlers. This is the podcast that helps you not only build your life, but build your business. Today we have a special guest, Coach Carol. We appreciate you taking time to be on our show. Welcome to the Lawn Hustle.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you having me.
Let's jump right in. What is the biggest mistake that you see small business owners making when it comes to sales and marketing?
Oh, gosh. It's a loaded question, man. I don't know that there's one mistake that they make. If you're just starting out, oftentimes taking an employee mindset into an entrepreneurial setting means that you'll typically take your cheap mindset, meaning that oftentimes I see business owners step over $100 bills to pick up $10 bills. They run their business just purely on a what's it cost basis, not what's it get me. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I see a lot of small business owners when they start out, they stay small for far too long, either because they play small or they don't truly believe in themselves, right? And that was one of the first lessons I had to learn, is that you have to believe in yourself, especially when nobody else does, because the world will give you endless reasons why you shouldn't go out there and make $1 million with your little lawn care business. Like my guidance counselor, my chemistry teacher told me my senior year of high school when I started my lawn care business. But, you only need to believe in yourself because you're the only one that needs to be right. And oftentimes what I find in business is that most businesses don't fail. It's actually the entrepreneur just gives up, right? Very, very seldom do businesses fail because they run out of money or, they close up shop. It's the entrepreneur throwing the towel in at the end of the day. Those are probably, I know that's not just one, but that was a tough question to start off with.
Well, at what point should a business owner stop winging it and build a real sales system in their organization?
Oh, fuck day one, man. Winging it doesn't help you in business. There's this little old technology you guys may have heard of called artificial intelligence that's come along here recently that has really allowed small businesses to compete with big businesses. I talk about this in my book, The Hunter Head Game. I call it the Access Attention AI Framework. And so in small businesses, there's really been three technological waves that have hit them. The first one was access, which was the internet. It allowed the free flowing of information. If you wanted to start a lawn care company 40 years ago, you had to go to the library and check out a book about it, or you had to find a mentor to study under, right? Be a mentee. That still works today. But with the internet, you could do a thing called a Google search or Ask Jeeves. If you guys remember ask.com, you could go in there and ask questions. You would find information. So it allowed you to have information at your fingertips, and it removed the gatekeepers to keep people from getting access to the information. The next wave that came along was the attention wave, and that's social media. And for the first time ever, small business owners could talk directly to their prospects and customers. You didn't have to pay the newspaper, the radio station, the television station any longer. You can make content, you can do a podcast like we're doing here, and talk directly to your customers. And I think that was the biggest thing to happen until AI came along. The difference between AI and software or automation, right? Creating, talking about winging it, right? The first thing you'll do is you'll go to a conference, you'll listen to a podcast, and some business guy will tell you, you need systems, you need SOPs, standard operating procedures, or playbooks. And you're like, cool, man. And then you go back and you document it, you write it all out, you have a playbook, and you teach the human. It's like, hey, on Friday, we clean out the truck, we clean out the trailer, we fill up all the gas cans, so we're ready to roll on Monday. And then what happens? Human nature. You show up on Monday, the truck's not cleaned out, the trailer's still a mess, the gas cans are empty. And so what happens is, software came along and it said, well, we'll put an app on your phone for all your guys to use and they'll check off the checklist. And then Friday afternoon, you'll know if they did the SOP, right? And so software came in and kind of really created efficiency and lift inside of processes that are already in place. But artificial intelligence is creating efficiency and lift behind the labor, right? Like, so this is where we are going to see massive impacts for small businesses. But, you know, if you're listening to this and you want to grow your business, guys, I remember, like, I started my first business my senior year of high school. I turned down 8 football scholarships, started mowing grass, right? Had a Walmart weed eater and a Walmart push mower, right? And I was knocking doors. I couldn't even afford a backpack blower or a handheld blower, so I used a push broom to, like, sweep off sidewalks when I was done, okay? Like, the real hustle. Like, I was so excited when I saw this come across my calendar. I was like, all right, man, that's my mantra is hustle, it's worth it, right? And so, for the longest time, what felt like the longest time is really only like 2 seasons, I kept everything in a notebook, right? Like in a composition notebook. That's not a system. That's not a process. It's better than just like hoping that your memory can get you by, but you've got to have systems. You've got to have processes. And I'll tell you where it really makes the impact is when you go to recruit people. If people show up to work for you, right, even if it's just like low man on the totem pole that's going to weed eat the ditches for you, he's only going to stick around for so long if you're a scrambled fucking mess, right? It's one of those things where you have to have them if you ever expect to be outside of a solopreneur from a recruiting standpoint, and if you just like want to have a good quality of life so you're not a frazzled mess running around trying to remember everything all the time.
You mentioned your book.
Yeah.
Tell us again the name of your book and where can our listeners find it?
Yeah. So it's called The Hunter Head Game. So I got a copy back here behind me, but this is a little closer. So you can go to thehunterheadgame.com. And the byline on it is "The Old World Rewarded Obedience. The New World Demands Killer Instincts." Honestly, Hugh, you probably agree with me on this. I feel like in the past decade, man, we've just gotten soft as a country, as a whole. And it's became acceptable, right? There's like one part of the equation is we become soft as a country. The other side of the equation is it becomes acceptable to become soft, right? Meaning like, here's a pill for that. Here's a shot for that. Here's a couch you can lay on and tell me about, you know, why it's not fair that you won that contract that you bid on. But ultimately, there are only 2 positions to be in. You're either the hunter or the hunted. And so that's why I wrote this book. It is a wake-up call. It's a battle cry for the hunter that lives, I think, inside of each and every single one of us. It's just a matter of if we ever want to wake that up and dare to live that life of adventure.
That is awesome. I'm going to be ordering that book. Can't wait to read it.
Appreciate it, man.
I have one coming out after Christmas. It's called Rooted for the Long Haul, How to Retain Customers in the Green Industry.
Love it.
So we...
Yeah, one of the cool things you did with this book is after you buy it, there's a link on the inside that you get the audiobook for free. And then we also created a custom AI model that's trained on the book. So like after you read it, if you're like, what did Coach say about that Apex framework? You just go and ask it and it pops it right up for you. So it makes the book very interactive.
Awesome. What is the most effective way a service-based business can generate consistent leads in today's world?
Yeah, man. So I'll give you guys a couple of ways that you can generate consistent leads. The first is like, you just got to get more attention around your business. Most small business owners that I know, they think they have 1 million problems in their business, but really the main one is just getting more attention, meaning that you need more people to know who you are and what you sell, right? You can do this through old school tactics, right? Radio, TV, billboard, all of that stuff still works. It's just wildly expensive. The cheaper version of that is social media, making your presence known locally. I'll give you guys some free hacks. You should be spending 5 to 10 minutes every morning while you're having your coffee instead of doom scrolling. Switch into your business profile and go follow all the businesses that are in your community. And then what you're going to do is like now, when instead of doom scrolling your home feed, you go switch into your business profile in the morning and scroll that feed now that you followed all of the pages in your local community, and then just engage and interact with them, right? Like, this is one of the things we actually have an AI platform called Ally. We were going to build this into Ally, but what we figured out during research and development was that the API, which is like the technical term to be able to plug into Meta to do this, they do not let bots do this. And so it's actually one of those like cool little like nooks and crannies inside of social media that you can't really automate with bots. And so getting on there and creating engagement, I call it social media cold calling, right? And so instead of calling the business and saying, hey, I sell lawn and landscaping services, like if your Facebook page says Austin's Lawn and Landscaping, right, and you leave a comment on the local bakery that just said, hey, this week we got blueberry donuts. It's a one-time thing for only this week. And you leave a comment, it's like, man, those things look delicious, right? That's it. That's all you got to do. Now, guess what? Now, all the people that follow that page are going to see that comment, and you're going to get free brand awareness out of it. Took you 20 seconds, if that, right? So you got to get more attention around it. And then the other piece of it, too, is there are probably places that once you get the attention and you start driving the awareness to your business, there's probably holes in the buckets that you already have, okay? And what do I mean by that? There's probably phone calls that you're missing. And there's probably website visitors that you're not converting, okay? And so that's why I built Ally. Being a blue-collar guy's background, right? Like, my dad grew up with a friggin' outhouse, right? It's like, you know, I come from very humble beginnings and have kind of worked my way up. But, you know, my whole mission now is, like, to go back and build technology that helps small businesses, especially blue-collar businesses, guys in the lawn care industry, which is where I started, leverage the power of this technology so that they can do more with less, right? And so Ally, our AI platform, she'll detect leads through your phone system so you never miss a phone call again. And then she also lives on your website, and she can identify up to a third of the anonymous website traffic. So Harvard Business says that most websites only convert at about a 2 to 5% ratio. So that means 95 out of every 100 visitors that come to your website, they're gone, man. They don't call you. They don't message you. They don't leave a comment. And they're gone forever. And so Ally allows you to get a subset of those people, about a third of them, so one out of every three. And we give you real personal level information, so name, phone number, email address, home address, and then the URL they came from. So you know if they came from your Google ad or whatnot, so that you can actually reach out proactively via email and try to start that conversation while they're still searching for other lawn and landscape providers. So, you know, that's my thing. It's like send more traffic through the top of the funnel. But then also let's like look at the funnel and make sure that we've got all the holes plugged up so nothing's leaking out the side of them.
So let me ask you this. Let's talk about converting leads into paying customers or clients.
Yeah. I love this.
I think there's a difference between a customer and a client. A customer is more of that one-time mulch job or that one-time hedge trimming. A client is something where you have revenue coming in weekly from that person. They become a client instead of a customer. But why do many leads?
Save big money on your kitchen projects at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, get 15% off everything you can fit in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Leads fail to convert from a customer to client.
Number one reason is speed to lead. Most people wait too long to follow up with the lead. There's an MIT study that says that if you can follow up with a lead within the first 5 minutes that that lead comes in, you have a 400x chance on closing that lead, right? I love the saying that oftentimes people buy from the last salesperson they talk to, right? And so if you can hop on that lead first and close them, you're the last salesperson they talk to, right? And so I think that's the first one, really, is like they're just slow to follow up, right? A lead comes in on a Thursday, you're busy, Friday's stacked, you take the weekend off, and then Friday morning you try to follow up. Shit, dude, they've already found somebody, right? They found five other people, right? They got them quotes back. And this is where I say like AI is super powerful. Same thing with like phone calls, right? Again, I think using AI to answer your phones, and there's a dozen products out there to do it. I think we have the best just because of the way that we trained the model. It's our own custom model that we built. So she actually feels like a human. But like being able to capture every single lead that calls your phone is ridiculously important, right? Because that mower's, dude, I remember that mower's humming. I don't care if your phone's in your pocket. You don't hear it. You don't feel it, right? Like,
right.
And so you're going to miss those calls. And oftentimes, especially in the green industry, your customers on Google, and they're just going down calling people, right? And the first person that answers and says, yeah, I can give me a quote, no problem, that's probably who they're going to do business with. So the thing I love about lawn care and landscaping is that it is not a demand shortage industry, meaning there is not a shortage of people that need the service. Typically, the constraint is on the supply side, which means you just don't have enough labor to get all the work done for the customers that are needing the projects, the mulching, the lawn care, the landscaping. The beauty of that is, like, that means there's room to raise prices, right? Until you get to a point where, like, 60 to 70% of the people are like, whoa, that's astronomically high. No way, right? Like, if you're not losing one out of every four jobs to somebody saying your price is too high, like, you need to raise your prices. Like, I was way underpriced for way too long. I actually had a mentor tell me one time. It's a funny story. I'll tell it real quick. I had a mentor named Ken Finner. He was out of Philadelphia. I met him back in the days of the internet when there was online forums. This was before Facebook groups became a thing. And Ken told me, he said, DJ, how much do you charge to cut a lawn? I'm like, at that time, my minimum was $20. He was like, how many people do you got at $20 a cut? I was like, oh, man, you know, I don't know, probably over half of my book of business. He was like, cool, double your prices. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, go to 40. I'm like, you're crazy, dude. I'm going to lose all my people. He's like, check this out. This is how economics work. You could lose half of your customers. You're still making the same amount of money, and now you do half the work. And I was like, no way, dude. There's like, I'm going to lose everybody. He was like, well, here's the great thing. If they all cancel, you can then just call them all back and say, hey, sorry, we actually, that was a typo. You know, we're not raising your prices. Everything's staying the same. So I did it. Dude, I lost like two customers. And I was like, holy smokes, right? That's called price elasticity, meaning like how far can you stretch your customers on raising your prices? It's a way that you can just make more money tomorrow without changing anything in your business. Super valuable lesson that I had to learn early on in the years. Now, I know before you guys hop in my DMs and my comments, okay, this was back in 2007 when I was driving the ugliest truck in Kentucky and had a Walmart push mower and a Walmart weed eater, okay? Like, give me a little grace. Like, $20, you lowballer.
Yeah, when you said $20, that got my attention real quick. But that is so good. I think our industry and the service industry in general needs to start charging according to their value and what they're worth. If a customer, if the first thing that comes out of their mouth is how much is it going to cost? That's probably not my ideal customer because they're more concerned about the dollar sign than they are the quality and the value that they're going to receive.
Yes and no. You have to be careful because there are four profiles to every buyer, right? And so if you have a high driver, right, like you, if I have my, like I have a guy that cuts our lawn out here at our farm that we live on. He was like, really took a long time to get me to the price. Like, I literally had to say, like, well, how much is it going to be, man? Right? Like, it was one of those things where if you have a very dominant buyer, a high charger, someone that values their time, oftentimes they're just like, hey, what are you doing? When can you do it? What's the price? Like, that may be all you need, right? You know, it may be one of those things where, and again, this is where you become better at sales, is a great way to grow your business, is just being better at selling people, is identifying and understanding who that is. Now, you know, Miss Margaret that lives down the road that's 72 years old, probably going to have to spend some time, build some rapport, build a relationship with that person, right? But the dude that is 5 minutes late getting home to meet with you to look at everything, pulls up in the Mercedes and shows up in a suit and is like, yeah, man, how much is it? He just values his time. So like, don't be afraid of that guy. Right. Cause like the customer doesn't have to match your pace, but you always have to match the customer's pace in a presentation. And don't be afraid to ask for the sale. I see that happen all the freaking time, man, where people just don't ask for the sale. Right. Like, they're like, hey, Hugh, it's going to be $45 a week, man. Does that sound good? We can start next week. Right. That's all you have to do. That, does that sound good? Or this or that close. Do you want us to get started this week or next week? Right. It's this or that. Would you rather be cut on Monday or Thursday? Those are two openings I got right now, right? You can use that. And then now you're not even about the price, right? I say, hey, you. And if you really want to break it down, like, you can start annually, like, as you're doing your presentation, right? So here's what this would look like. If it's a 30-week season, right, you're going to mow for 30 weeks. That's why I love being on a lawn care podcast because, like, I know the business. I was in it, right? So I can give you guys some stuff. So if you know it's going to be a 30-week season and it's going to cost $50, right, to cut the grass. So that's going to be $200 a month for 30 weeks. That's $1,500. Okay. What you can do is see if your buyer will bite on that. Some of you guys are doing weekly pricing, weekly billing, monthly billing. Like, maybe you should just ask them to pay for the season if it's a smaller yard, right? But you don't, because you sell with your own wallet. And you go, well, I would never pay somebody $1,500 in advance for the season, right? But here's what you do. You say, hey, Mr. Prospect, on a property like this with our annual discount, you're looking probably about $1,500 for the season. Does that sound fair? They go, oh, no, I can't do that. It's like, okay, well, it's $60 a week then. We can put you on monthly billing if that's better, right? Now you like you baked in a discount. And now if they have the coin in their pocket, they have the $1,500 to spend, they'll go, shit, that's like a $300. Okay, yeah, I'll just pay the $1,500. Now look what you just did. You accelerated your growth rate because you collected all the cash for the season now. So now that $500 in Facebook ads that you needed to run but you didn't have the money to do, magically you got three times that money, right, that you can go get your next five or six customers. It's called pulling cash forward, and it's one of the easiest ways to get the cash flow that you need inside of a seasonal business so that you can, like, launch it really, really quickly in the early days.
I started doing that about 3 years ago, and I'm up to about 15 of my customers that pay annually.
Yeah.
And they pay the second week of December. That way it gives me a little cash flow in December, January, and February.
Smart, man.
If we're not getting a bunch of snow, I still have some cash. So, yeah. And another thing, I'm wanting to get your opinion on, what about 12-month billing? Where if you charge someone, you know, $1,500, you just divide that by 12 and charge them that every month. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you just have to be – you have to be careful. You have to make sure, one, that your contract's airtight with cancellation fees and things like that, right? So you got to make sure your contract's airtight. You also have to make sure that you aren't so tight on your margins that you'll actually run upside down, right, like on that, because, like, you're now incurring a lot of cost, especially if you're selling them an annualized package, which means, hey, we're going to do the lawn and landscaping, plus trim the bushes twice a year, plus do your mulch in the spring, et cetera, et cetera. The challenge now is, like, you could have a month that costs you, like, $3,800, and you only build them $2,750, right? Like, that could put you upside down in a cash flow problem. If I'm going to do the 12-month billing, I'd rather bill it quarterly so that I now have 3 months in on the front side. I know I got 3 months worth of revenue for that, right? And then, like, you bill it out quarterly. We've played around with this because I still own a power washing business. Like, it's my lab rat. We do some of the biggest apartment complexes all across the Midwest and Southeast, and we've washed stadiums and all kinds of stuff. We still have a residential division, and I tried, like, the $97 a month, right? Hey, $97 a month, we'll do two trips a year. In the spring, we'll do X, Y, and Z. In the fall, we'll do X, Y, and Z. And what I think has happened is, because everything has went to subscriptions, the customers are, like, subscriptioned out. They're like, dude, my plumber charges me a subscription. My HVAC guy's charging me. My lawn care is the OG subscription. That's always been monthly, right? It's like, and so, like, trying to add another one on top of that is a little difficult. It's also the reason why, if you guys don't know this, I'll tell your listenership real quick. If you don't know, you get a higher multiple on your business, meaning what's it worth if you have annualized recurring revenue. And it's the same reason why, like, if you go to Verizon, you know, I recently upgraded to the newest iPhone. I'm like, hey, man, how much if I just pay cash? And they're like, it's the same price. I'm like, what? It's the same price. It's the same price if I pay you for the next 36 months of payments, or if you just, like, give me interest-free payments. And the reason is because that revenue is looked at differently. If it's a one-time cash exchange versus if they book it for 36 months as recurring revenue, it's more predictable. So a little side note there.
Well, what is the right way to handle the "you're too expensive" objection?
Thank you. I hear that a lot. But it's also followed up with, but man, does my property look amazing. So did next Monday work better for you, or is Thursday a better day? Roll through them, man. You guys get so hung up on objections. You know, I'm talking to you. I'm just talking to listeners. But it's like, you guys get so hung up on objections that you take everything personally, right? It's like that one friend that, like, when you go out and you have a couple drinks with them, they get a little argumentative. It doesn't mean they're a bad friend or that they hate you. Like, it's just a little argument. It's not nothing personally. It's the same thing with the customers, man. If they tell you that, like, know how to handle it. And that's the difference in being a pro closer and then just being an order taker, right? Order takers are like, here's the price. Do you want it or not? A closer knows how to overcome objections. And if you're really good, you'll go get a testimonial from a customer that talks about how they spent a little more with you than they were anticipating, but man, are they happy because your customer service is over the top. And then what you do is you put that testimonial inside of whatever paperwork you take, right? Like your three-panel brochure or your sales flyer, whatever, right? And you make that part of the presentation, right? You show that there are customers that have said, man, yeah, they weren't the cheapest bid that we got, but boy, are we happy that we went with them, right? And so the highest level salesmen in the world, they make sure that they take all of the objections that they would possibly get and they bake them into the sales presentation. Another tactic is to get the no's out of the way, meaning that I will give them artificial no's, right? So like when I used to look at a property, like I clearly could tell where the property line would stop. But then I would be like, so do we mow all the way to their driveway? And they're like, no. That's not where my property is, over here, right? It's like I'm letting them say no for other things so that when I get them to say yes, it's not the first time they've said no. And so it's a lot easier. It's a little psychological trick that you can use on there. It's like, you know, do you guys want us to weed eat, you know, only once a month or you know, and it's like, no, I want you to weed eat every time. So, okay, cool, no problem, right? It's like you get those no's out of the way so that then when you ask for the business, they've said no already and then hopefully it's a yes, right? And if it's not, they say, well, it's too expensive. If you don't want to be like, well, pastor can say, I hear that oftentimes. Here's my second follow-up. Compared to what? And then just shut up and let them talk, you know? Hey, wow, man, you know, I don't know, this quote, $200 a week, that seems expensive. Oh, compared to what? Oh, just compared to what I was thinking. God, did you, and what did you compare that to? Because, like, I know I went to the dinner with the wifey last weekend, and it was $200. So, like, what are we talking about here? It's like, don't be afraid to be combative, because here's the other thing. If I'm going to lose the customer, I'm at least going to have fun. I'm going to have a fun story to tell when I'm walking back to the truck, right? You can't be afraid. Because if they're not going to be your customer, like, they're not going to be your customer. What do you care?
Well, let's take a short break and hear a word from my show sponsor, Eartha Pro.
Tired of chasing payments and losing track of jobs? Eartha Pro back office software makes it simple for solo guys and small lawn care and landscaping crews. Schedule, invoice, and organize all in the same place. We also have a mobile app and integrate into QuickBooks. Sign up at earthapro.com with promo code THELAWNHUSTLE11 for a $50 Amazon gift card, 10% off, and personalized onboarding. EarthaPro, you run the outside work, we run the office.
All right, we're back with Coach Carroll. And he has really given us some great information and strategies to help our businesses and help us as business owners to grow our service business. Let's talk about some mind shifts. What is the biggest mind shift that had the greatest impact on your business when you started?
Yeah, it was the very first lesson that I learned, man. It was you got to believe in yourself when no one else does. You know, when I was looking at 8 football scholarships my senior year of high school and I'd started mowing grass, and I was like, man, I'm making like $4,000 a month as a high school senior, right? Signing myself out, working for myself, you know, co-oping as everyone else went to the factories and the offices in the area. Like, I was co-oping for my own business. The guidance counselor and the chemistry teacher was like, you know, what are you doing, right? They acted like I was like throwing my life away. But I knew that if it didn't work out, I could still go back to college, right? Oftentimes, the worst case scenario is really not that bad, right? Oftentimes, the decision that you make is not like 100% irreversible, right? Like, most of the time, you can reverse whatever you did. You can change course. Might cost you some money. Might cost you some time, but that's okay. That is business, right? There is not the sooner that you detach yourself from this, like, expectation that there is a perfect way to run a business and it's done this way. And then like, we got a little bit of time and a long way to get somewhere. When you can detach from that and realize that this journey of business is endless iterations or changes to how you operate in the never ending quest for volume growth and max profitability, right? Because you don't just surprise, we ended up into profitability. That doesn't happen. By nature, most small businesses are not geared towards profitability, because the more money you make, the more money you have to spend, right? And so then what happens is eventually either that spending outpaces the earnings, or you have a rollback in earnings, right? So like, we had a bad month, but the expenses were still high, right? And so like, you have to be careful with that. But it's that mindset of believing in yourself, man. Like, knowing that you can achieve anything. Like, guys, I'm telling you, I was dyslexic, right? I tried to go to community college. I dropped out after 3 semesters. I was arrested twice by the age of 25, right? Like, and I'm from Kentucky. Like, if you say, where are businessmen from? Kentucky is nowhere on the fucking list, okay? And so I promise you that if a dyslexic, twice arrested, college dropout kid from Kentucky can build a business and become a millionaire, so can you. It's possible. It's all in your mindset. And that first shift is believing it. You have to be crazy. You have to think that it's nuts, right? Like, I think we've lost a touch with how crazy it is to have $1 million a year business, right? Like, we see all the sports cars on Instagram, the penthouses in Brickell, Miami, and like the kids like saying, come join my life insurance team. And like, it's so far out of touch that you need to understand that, like, I think it's like less than 10%, it's like 11% of small businesses ever hit $1 million in revenue, right? Like, okay, like if you ever get there, like you've done a really good job. But I'll also say it on the other side, that if you just want to have your lawn care business because you want to make 150 grand a year in your pocket, work 10 months out of the year, 9 months out of the year, never miss a ball game for your son, never miss a dance recital with your daughter. Take a couple vacations a year that you wrap around conferences so you can 100% write the whole thing off of your active income. Like, dude, good for you too, because there's not enough people like in my position that come on these podcasts and talk. They all want to like twist their mustaches, smoke their cigars, and be like, you need to make a gazillion dollars a year. It's like, fuck, for what? Like, what makes you happy, man? Like, if being happy is like taking care of your family, not being stressed about the bills, going to Disney World, and like your kids want for, you know, nothing, like within reason, like, dude, that's super freaking achievable. You just have to show up every day, right? Like, I have this mantra, if you will show up with a positive mental attitude, you'll beat 90% of the rest of the world.
That's true.
It's that easy.
Well, how do you push through self-doubt when the results aren't showing up yet?
Yeah. So, I'll share a story with you guys, because it's not all rainbows and butterflies, okay? I had a fitness center that I bought back in the end of 2015. Over 18 months, I grew this thing 300%. It was on fire, man. Like, we completely rebranded it. We were crushing it. And I had a real estate agent that I did a deal with. I was going to sell the facility. Long story short, I can't talk about too many of the details because there was a lawsuit that happened with it. But at 27 years old, I ended up losing $500,000 worth of real estate and a six-figure business. That business is what put my net worth over $1 million. I had a goal that I was going to be a millionaire by age 30. I had it by 26. I lost it by 27. And so for me, that was a very tough time. It challenged me mentally. But I also realized during all of that, that if you don't give up, you don't lose. That's the beauty of business. You can play this game for till you're 80, right? Like, go watch CNBC in the mornings. They have like the Barry Dillards on. These dudes that are in their 80s, right? They've just played this game for their whole life. It's not like pro sports. Like, you know what I mean? Like Yeah, I'm an Indianapolis Colts fan. It's like, we got Phillip Rivers again. He's 44 years old, so it's like, I guess you could play till you're 40 in the NFL now. But, you know, it's like, and then you're done, right? The beauty about business, I think, is that it has such a long time horizon. And you guys have all heard that quote, like, we underestimate what we can do in 10 years, but we overestimate what we can do in a year. It's the same thing on this, man. And that's why when I started building my personal brand online, I just completely detached from the numbers, right? Like, I said, hey, I know that coaches and speakers really don't pop off until they're in their, like, mid to late 40s. So, like, I was 25 at the time. Like, I got all the time in the world. And so when I didn't see the results fast, I just stuck to the plan. And I'll also tell you, man, like, I'm a man of faith. And so, like, trusting that God has a plan for me. And what's been beautiful is, like, the closer I get to God, like, the better the outcome becomes, right? It's like, whoa, I did not plan for any of this stuff over here, right? It's like, this was my plan. Like, this over here was God's plan for me, which is pretty cool. And I'm no theologian by any stretch of the imagination, but I think when things are tough, oftentimes you got to look at yourself and make sure that you're putting out maximum output, maximum effort. Like, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, right? My basketball coach back in high school, he used to always say, it's physical fitness and mental toughness is what wins championships, right? And so, like, are you taking care of yourself, and are you putting in the work? If you are, then, you know, maybe take a different approach. There might be some iterations. That's why I say, man, it's like, business is not one way to the promised land. Like, there are multiple ways to get to the top of the mountains, and you're always trying to change and tweak that. But I also think that this question here is one of the absolute pinnacle reasons of why you need a tribe. Like, you got to have other entrepreneurs in your life, because if not, if you're trying to build a business and the five people you hang around are, like, people that are, you know, still working at the factory or still working in the plant or in the warehouse or wherever, like, they're going to be like, yeah, dude, why? Like, just come back, right? Like, just give that up. Like, or how's that little business thing doing, man? You're stressed out, dude. You're losing your hair, DJ, right? Like, it's like you just have to understand that anything worth having is going to take sacrifice, right? That's why oftentimes when I coach people, I ask them, I'm like, hey, what makes you happy? What's the end goal? Like, what is the game we're actually playing here? Because in entrepreneurship, we do not index for happiness enough. That's not talked about. It's all about money, and it's up and to the right. And so, like, you want to make the chart go up and to the right. I think oftentimes in entrepreneurship, we have to say, hey, what's the game we're playing? What makes us happy? And then, like, what are you willing to sacrifice? Because everything in life is a trade.
What are there limiting beliefs that you can talk about that are holding people back in the green industry or service business?
You know, it's funny. Keith Kalfas is a good buddy of mine, and there's a video we have on YouTube where he's in my, like, penthouse high rise, and I'm, like, on there, like, bragging about a $40,000 month. And, like, I look back at that now, and I'm like, Jesus, 40 grand, I was broke. What the hell is that, right? It's like, and so, like, you know, my newest business partner, Dan Martell, he talks about the old high has to be the new low, right? The old high has to be the new minimum. So, like, I still remember the first time I looked at my bank account and there was $100,000 cash in there. I was like, holy shit, right? Like, that was crazy. That's been a goal for years. Well, that had to now become the new low, right? Where it's like, hey, we don't dip below 100. Now we're trying to get to 250. And then you get to 250 and you're like, okay, we don't dip below 250. Now we got to go to 5, right? I think the self-limiting beliefs, we talked about this earlier about selling with your own wallet, right? Is like, that is like, I see that happen all the time. Penny pinching. I call it, pardon the language, I call it broke bitch mentality. It's where, like, you just operate like you're broke all the time. And, like, guess what? That's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, you're going to be broke all the time. Like, have a little swagger. I used to sell so many apartment complex managers on lawn care when I used to do the sales inside the business, because I would wear a jacket and a button-up shirt and some slacks. Like, I would walk in, I'd be like, is a property manager here? And they're like, yeah, let me get her for you. They're like, I don't know, there's like an attorney or something here for you, right? Like, the property manager comes out. I'm like, hi, I'd like to give you a quote for your 2026 lawn care and landscaping budget. And they're like, dressed like that, right? But it's perspective and perception, right, of that customer. And you know, go ahead. I'll have a DM or a comment, like, no, man, I rub a little dirt on my jeans. They know I'm a hard worker. I come in. I'm like, yeah. And you also smell like ass and nobody wants to give you time of the day. So it's like, take a shower, put a collared shirt on and like, go handle yourself like a true professional. Because if you do that, then you get to charge professional prices, right? It's, you have different conversations. Back to like what you're saying, customers versus clients. I look at everyone as clients. I don't have customers because the level of service that I deliver, I only have clients, right? It is very much a VIP level status service. But what happens is in small businesses, oftentimes because the rent's due and the phone bill needs to be paid, is like you just take anybody and everybody into your business, and that's okay. I'm not hating on that. But the faster you can figure out who your ideal customer profile is, write that down, ICP, the faster you can figure that out and only index to that person, the better off you'll be. Jordan Yoakam, my best friend since high school, he's the top sales guy for Tom James, who does custom tailored suits. He does my suits for me. Like, he's got clients that will buy $25,000 worth of clothes from him in one setting. I still to this day buy $2,000 suits from him, but I think that's fucking crazy, right? That's a self-limiting belief. And so oftentimes I try to catch myself anytime I say that's crazy, right? If those words come out of my mouth, is it really crazy, or am I just not holding myself to that standard, right? Am I not playing it at that level? It's just crazy for me today, right? Because there was a point in time where I never flew first class, and I was like, that's crazy to spend $1,000 on an airline ticket. Now I only fly first class, right? Like, I used to think, it's crazy for somebody to have a billionaire that's a client. Now I have 3 billionaires that are clients, right? Self-limiting beliefs will hold you back, I think, probably more than anything, right? And then the age-old ones are like, well, this president we got, oh, this economy, oh, you saw those inflation numbers, right? It's like you're giving away power. You're giving your power away to external circumstances and external things. What you need to do is look in the mirror and ask yourself, who is the person that I need to become in order to deserve the next level of success?
Boy, that is good.
Thanks, man.
Let's talk about marketing. Where should a lawn care business or service industry business, where do you feel is the best place for them to market themselves?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I didn't know this when I had my lawn care business, but you should spend all of your outbound time working on partnerships, because partnerships are slow until they're not, okay? What do I mean by that? Realtors, great example, right? Who knows people that have houses? Realtors, right? Here's the cool thing. Why don't you go to your local realtors in town and say, hey, instead of giving out those bullshit wine and cheese baskets that nobody even likes or really wants, or the custom engraved, you know, cutting board that they're going to be like, gee, thanks, put it in the back of the cabinet, never look at it again, right? Because it has, like, you know, Choice One Realty real big on it. Like, nobody cares. U.S. Bank sent me a clock the other day. I'm like, I literally have hundreds of thousands of dollars with you guys, and you send me this wooden clock that has a giant U.S. Bank logo on the side of it. I threw it straight in the trash. I'm like, I'm gonna put this out in my house, right? And so what I would tell you is, like, go to real estate agents and say, hey, listen, oftentimes when people move into a property, the first thing they need is like the outside. They start spending money making the place look good, right? They spend tons of money improving the house, even if the house is in great shape. So what I want to offer to you, because I'd love for you to be a partner with me in my business, is that I will give you a drastic discount on our services that you can give as a thank you to your clients when they go to close. So instead of giving them that cheese and wine basket or that cutting board, you say, hey, by the way, don't worry, your landscaping services for the next 6 months, I'm taking care of that, because DJ and his crew are like the top notch in town and they're the best ones to be trusted with your property. I've got you taken care of. And so now you hook the realtor up, you do it at a discount, or maybe even, you know, you don't make much money at all on the deal. And so now, guess what? You're in front of that customer for 6 months. Now you got an opportunity to build rapport with them, build a relationship so that then they convert to a paying customer. On the other side of it, you can build relationships with clients and say, hey, listen, 80% of people deciding if they want to stop and look at a house or not is curb appeal. And so what I do is I have a program for sellers that says, hey, we'll spiff up the outside and the landscaping, and you just pay me when the house closes. Now, you got to have a little cheddar to be able to do this, but you could go in and do a $2,000 cleanup and actually charge them $3,500 for it because you're holding that paper until they actually close on the property, right? You can put clauses in there that say after so many days, you got to pay us, right? That way you're not in trouble if they don't ever go close the property. But those partnerships, man, like sell the relationship that will then sell one relationship that will then bring you 10 deals, right? Same situation for apartment complexes. I did do this, is that I would move up channel. So I used to sell to like the maintenance guys because like, oh, the maintenance guys are on the property. That's who I need to talk to. They have no buying power whatsoever. So then I was like, oh, let's go talk to the property manager. Well, the property manager just collects all the bids and then gives them to the regional manager. So then what did I do? I started holding quarterly lunches, invite only, at a really nice high-end restaurant. No sales pitch, no nothing. I was just there to be in the room, right? And I would invite the regional managers to come to that because I knew that's the decision makers. One regional manager hooked me up with over six figures worth of lawn and landscape contracts for like five of their properties, right? And so, like, again, that's where, to me, if you're going to do that, if you're going to spend time, effort, money, spend it there. If you're trying to get residential customers, Facebook is still, bar none, the best place to advertise. If you can even spend $500 a month, $1,000 a month, which, again, people go, well, that's a lot of money. That's my mortgage. It's like, yeah, but what's it going to get you?
Right.
Like, what's that investment going to get you? And if it gets you one customer at $5,000, like, that's a 5x return. Like, you're going to tell me if I had a casino game we could go play, that if you put $1,000 in, it would pay you $5,000 back, like, you wouldn't want to play that game, right? And so that kind of goes back into those self-limiting beliefs as well.
Let's do a rapid fire here.
All right.
Best marketing channel right now.
Your current email list.
One sales habit every business owner should develop.
Follow up Friday. Call every open estimate that you have in your book and call them every single Friday until they either buy or they tell you to kick rocks.
Book or mentor that changed how you view sales.
Sales. That would be my first coach, Chuck Bauer, who's retired now. But book would be The Ultimate Jim Rohn Library on Audible. You can buy it for one Audible credit, and it's like a $90 audio pack, but it's like a little hack in the system. It's like 80 hours of Jim Rohn. Probably won't teach you to sell better, but he'll improve you as a person, and so you'll sell better as a consequence to that.
One tool that you couldn't live without.
HireAlly.com. We installed Alley onto our phone systems in March of this year. We haven't missed a phone call all year. And a third of all phone calls, we have realized now after analyzing the data, a third of all phone calls that come into our system are spam or bot. So it's massive time wasters. All of that's eliminated.
One piece of advice you would give some struggling to close deals.
Role play more with ChatGPT on voice mode. If you're not closing deals, it's probably because you're not getting enough shots on goal, which means you're not getting the reps to actually get better. So just open up ChatGPT voice mode and say, hey, I'm a landscaper. I need you to be a world level sales coach and role play with me so that I can test overcoming different objections.
If someone only had one marketing activity, what should they focus on and why?
If you're brand new in business, I'd say cold calling because you can go hunt for whales. If you're an established business, it's emailing your current customers. Because someone that's already a customer with you will spend way more money with you than a cold prospect. But if you're brand new to the business, I literally, still to this day, the three biggest projects we've ever done, all of them over six figures, all came from cold calling.
One more. How do you track whether your marketing activity is actually working?
With a scorecard. Operate based on a scorecard, and then UTM parameters. If you want to get super nerdy with it, you can track each link channel directly with UTM parameters. But you also have to know the strategy, right? It's like some stuff is just top of mind awareness. Like if I donate to the school and do a coat drive, I don't expect people to call me and like get a quote because of that. They just like, it's good nature, goodwill in the local community. But then I can run a hard call to action ad, right? Like mulch is half off in March, right? Like we used to call it March mulch mania, right? It's half off mulch prices. It's like, you know, I like Alex Hormozi saying, he said, you know, fraternities never struggle to find a reason to have a party, right? It's like Toga Tuesday, just because, right? It's like find promotions. A lot of you guys just have boring fucking marketing, or you put out content that's boring, and so people scroll right past it. There's no theme around it. It's not fun. And don't be afraid to look bigger than you actually are, man. Like I used to, like the highest compliment I used to get is like, is this a franchise? And I was like, hell yeah. That meant my truck looked good. My uniform was clean, and all my, what I call sales propaganda, right? My sales sheets, my estimates, my forms, everything, all of that looked so good that they thought I was a franchise. And that's like the highest compliment you can get if you're not actually a franchise.
I hired a guy a couple years ago. I show up at his house to pick him up. It was on the way to the shop. He come out with some black silky shorts on with big smiley faces all over him. And he got in the truck. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to work. I said, not dressed like that. You're not. You need to get in the house, put some pants on. I said, I've worked too hard to build my brand for you to destroy it in one day. So you're not going to show up with them black silky shorts on. You can put on some nice khaki pants, nice pair of jeans, your uniform shirt, your uniform hat, because when you're working, you're representing me. And I've worked too hard in this business.
Yeah, it's called having standards as well, man. Like you want to take your business to the next level, just raise your standards and hold everybody accountable to them. That'll do worlds of magic.
Yeah. Well, tell us, where can we follow you? Where can we, look at your journey?
Hashtag Coach Carroll, or go to CoachCarroll.com. Everything's linked there. Carroll, two R's, two L's. If you just Google Coach Carroll, Pete Carroll, I thought was retired, the Seahawks ex-coach, but he fucking came back again. So now he's like still on my LinkedIn traffic. Eventually that guy will be done. And then like, I'll just say, just go Google Coach Carroll and I'll be fine. But you go, the biggest thing, man, just go pick up the book, The Hunter Head Game. There is so much stuff in here. If you hired me and paid me 10 grand to come do consulting work, everything that I teach you is inside of this book for $40. And then you get access to the custom AI model that we built as well. So like you can just, it's basically, you can like Q&A and chat with me, in real time, which is pretty cool. And it's all sourced back to the text, but that's at thehunterheadgame.com. And then if you want more leads in your business, man, go check out hirealley.com. You can use, let me double check. I'll give you guys the code, 'cause I don't want to mess this up. I believe it was, hold please. It was, CC50, and you'll get 50% off your first month. So I'll give you guys a cool little promo code for that. But I can't say how much I appreciate you bringing me on and let me pour in my audience. Guys, if you're listening to this and you haven't subscribed to the podcast, downloaded his podcast, gave him a review, go do it. It'll help him get in front of more people so he can help more people in the lawn care industry. And as I always say, my mantra, man, hustle, it's worth it. Because you'll hustle for a reason for a season, and then it'll all be worth it.
I appreciate that. And let me remind you, my book, Rooted in the Long Haul, How to Retain Customers in the Green Industry, will be available after Christmas. So you can check that out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you haven't already, leave us a 5-star rating and a nice review. It helps tremendously. I appreciate it. Thank you for joining the Lawn Hustle. Until we talk again, remember to keep hustling, keep growing, and take your business to the next level.